but you know, it was really.
I don't know. I don't have balls. I don't know what.
I don't have balls.
I don't know how like personal that is.
How personal balls, the sound of balls on ultrasound are.
Yeah. Also, it was like a medical thing. So it's like, I don't know if you want me here for this.
Well, you know, I didn't want to be there either. So I kind of saw it as like, you know, I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. I don't think this nurse wants to be here ultrasounding my balls.
I don't think Dr. Chuck wanted to be there either.
He doesn't seem like he ever wants to be there.
He just seems like a busy dude. Like, yeah. Get in, get out, leave me alone. You but like, what? Friendly.
Yeah.
But no nonsense. Like,
that's. Go. I wish he could just be my regular doctor.
Doesn't he remind you of House?
Yeah, kind of.
Just that, like, kind of abrupt, like, yeah. A little bit sarcastic.
He's just like, oh, you probably have this.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. All right, cool.
He was nice whenever I got 2 stitches.
Yeah.
And then I was like feeling bad because I was wasting hospital time and resources. And he was like, hey, we couldn't get it to stop. So you obviously couldn't. So you're supposed to come in.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
But he just like leveled with me like, hey, stop beating yourself up about these 2 stitches. It was nice.
You ready for a song?
Yeah.
Should we try? Let's try this one. Think we have volume? I think we do. Ooh, maybe not.
Up there. Somebody should talk about two
times. Talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the question. Are you gonna help with the DDs?
Like where the bone thugs in. Are they in harmony? Do do do. Covered.
It's embarrassing because sometimes I'll start singing that song to myself because it gets stuck in my head. And that feels
your
like
own theme.
Yeah. That feels like if you were like Lil Wayne and you had your own song in your head and you just kept running. Do you think that happens to musicians?
I hope so. I hope that Taylor Swift always has her songs running through her head.
She's just walking around her house like
and she sings it to Benjamin Button.
Yeah. For anyone listening, Taylor Swift has a cat named Benjamin Button.
And Meredith and Olivia.
Mm-hmm. Benjamin Button's the newest addition to the Swift household.
Which she met on the set of Me.
Yes. Her video.
Mm-hmm.
Me.
I know all the facts.
Entitled Me. I feel like there's so many things. You're so deep in the Taylor Swift lore that like... You don't even know. It's like I had this chemistry teacher who sucked at teaching chemistry because he knew too much about chemistry. So he didn't even understand that I was like, listen.
What is potassium?
I don't even know what a fucking electron is. So, and you're trying to explain. You're like, his syllabus was like chapters 1 through 4. Then we skipped to like chapter 26 and 27.
Whoa.
Because that explained how like nuclear power works.
No.
And I was like, dude. No.
Like
I think they go in an order for a reason.
Between where I'm at and where you're at.
Yeah, and it's like, listen, I wish I was the kind of person who could do that, but I am not.
Mm-hmm.
I did not do well in this class.
I did good at chemistry.
Did you?
Math.
I didn't like it. All I really remember doing is, well, okay, he made us get a composition notebook because, you know, like those are sewn together.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't tear pages out because he's like, I don't want anyone to tear pages out or do anything like that.
What?
And that was your lab notebook. And then basically every time we went in and did an experiment day, it was you took a plastic page protector.
Yeah.
And put a page inside that had a grid. And then you would take pipettes and mix 2 chemicals together in 1 square and then 2 different chemicals in another square and see what happened.
That sounds real boring.
It was horrible.
Chemistry is way more fun than that.
And then you would do, we also had to build atoms. So you got these little like.
Like out of marshmallows and toothpicks?
More like shitty Legos.
Kinects?
Here's what they were. Imagine, so Kinects and Legos are kind of a toy.
Yeah.
Imagine if someone looked at those and was like, how could we make this totally uninteresting?
For educational purposes.
How could we ruin Legos? completely, comprehensively ruined the fun of Legos. They did it. They figured it out. And so then you're just like building atoms. But the whole time I was doing it too. And then it would be like, oh, no, that's not quite right. That electron actually comes over on this. And I'm just like, who fucking cares?
I was bored listening to you say that.
Yeah. How is this going to help me do anything in life? Look, I'm not going to cook meth. Okay. Breaking Bad. So I don't need to. Oh, that must have been the worst for chemistry teachers.
Oh, that show.
Yeah.
Students were always like, let's make meth.
I bet Mr. Gorham is making meth. How do I make that like red powder explode? Yeah. How do I make poison gas? And you're just like, no, we're not doing that. I bet that would be a horrible show to watch with a chemistry teacher too. Cause I bet they'd be like, fucking public high school in New Mexico has a $800 Erlenmeyer flask.
Yeah.
Seems likely.
Yeah, isn't New Mexico one of like the lower state funded education systems?
Let's see.
I'm pretty sure that it is.
Worst funding public schools by state.
Also on that topic, I wonder, because we've been watching House, mm-hmm. and then we found out that there was like this medical doctor who has a brief series on Netflix that was a consultant on House.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what like Breaking Bad consultant looked like if
some
it was chemistry teachers or if it was like, yeah, cartel people would be like, oh, no, you got to make Tuco sound like this because that sounds like real exact as far as the cartel would talk.
You know, New Mexico, well, they're in like the bottom third.
Okay, I thought that they were pretty low. Maybe yeah, that's like Alabama and Mississippi.
Let's see.
I think Mississippi might be one of the lowest.
Utah is supposedly the lowest.
What?
I gotta wonder. I wonder if they have a bunch of weirdo private religious schools or something.
I don't know.
Where's Colorado? I don't even. Oh, man. We're way worse than New Mexico.
Yikes.
We're like in the bottom 10.
Who's best?
Blech.
Connecticut.
New York.
Okay.
And then D.C. And then Alaska.
Huh.
And then New Jersey.
You're just going to go through all 50.
Well, here's what I think is kind of bullshit about that, though. It's like, okay, so D.C. is second. And you're like, oh, well, good thing the people who make the decisions about public schools right. have great public schools.
Right.
Like, that. I could see how this works out.
Yeah, that's bogus.
I feel like the one that's doing the best, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th, is Wyoming.
All right.
I feel like, all right, Wyoming. You're doing pretty well for yourself.
They have a good claim to something.
Yeah, and you're kind of a hick state, but at the same time, looks like you got this whole fucking thing figured out. Like, wouldn't you think that Iowa would be doing okay?
I would. I would think that several Midwestern states would be okay. Like Wisconsin and Minnesota, I would think are fine.
Also, I find it disturbing that, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 17 from the bottom is California. California is also probably in the bottom third.
Hmm.
Seems like California is always trying to tell us what to do all the time, yet they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Cheers.
Take that, California.
Good job.
I mean, because you would expect, oof. Yeah, I know we have some fans from Arizona, third from the bottom.
Yikes.
I mean, that
suck
doesn't...
it!
Arizona.
That's for that text that I got from a certain someone claiming that their place of work was better than my place of work.
Because there are cats just roaming? Or there's
I mean,
a cat
that
statue,
is better.
Right? I do have to admit
damn
that it's
it.
Better. Anyway... Welcome. So you had an important update for us.
Yes. Okay. So was that your last show?
It was, although it
was
went out as a
Patreon.
Bonus episode.
Yes.
So some people might not know about it.
So bonus episode, we talked about license plates and the types of numbers and letter combinations that are like outlawed in
for
Colorado.
Vanity plates.
Yeah, for vanity plates. And there was a bunch of like devil stuff and also a bunch of F word stuff.
Yeah.
But then we were out getting some
everything
food.
Everything 666 was disallowed.
Yeah. But we were out getting food and pulled up next to a red Grand Am.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the top, did you notice there were like little devil
Not till you showed me, but yeah.
Yeah, so up above, like, the passenger and driver window were, like, little plastic, like, devil's horns.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 inches tall.
Yeah.
And like, 3D, like, round and everything. And then we looked at the license plate, and it was 666-DEVL,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and it was all red, and then we were just like, we were just talking about this. And so then we go in to get food and stand behind this couple, and I, like, immediately was like, that's their car. That has to be their car. And then the girl had a cross tattooed behind her ear.
Yeah.
But it was, like, upright, like...
Normal cross.
Normal cross, not, like, upside down Antichrist stuff, like, normal cross. So then you were ordering food... And I got real obsessed with figuring out if it was actually their car.
Yes.
And so I left you.
You were doing the thing that every once in a while when I'm with, like, we'll be at Pantera doing a Poon Master Flex. Hold on.
What minute are we at? 10. I was going to remind you.
I'm out with Poon Master Flex. We'll be doing a crossword at Pantera. And I'll say something and then there's no response. And I look up and realize she's not... with me attention. At the table anymore. She's paying attention to some other drama or something that's happening at another table, like some old people talking about a festering wound they had or something.
It's gross. But aren't you glad? Because then I update you on what's happening, and usually it's pretty good.
Usually, yeah. But that it was happening, and I couldn't figure out why.
I know, because I couldn't tell you, like, that's them. They're the devil
car. That's the devil!
Yeah. So then... They left the restaurant, and I was like, okay, I could just, like, say, oh, they left, and then if we go to our car, which was next to theirs, and it's gone, like, it was their car. But I wanted to be solid and mm-hmm. sure. So I hung out outside while you were getting food to go, mm-hmm. and I watched them walk to their car, and they totally got in that car. Mm-hmm. And then they hung out there, so when we got to our car, they were still in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just real interesting, because we had just talked about it, and then they were like... You were like, I would have never guessed that that was their car.
No. I think you would be expecting, like, some real gothy people or something. Or, you know, Satanist-looking people. Someone who was in Anthrax or something. And then they looked to be Latino.
Yeah.
And they had some tattoos, but nothing crazy.
I sensed it because the guy was wearing, I think he was wearing, like, a red hoodie or, like, bright red pants, one mm-hmm. of the two. And I was just... I don't know. It was just, like, very red. And I was like, this car is, like, real into red.
Maybe it's a red thing.
Or maybe they're just putting out the vibe. Like, this is our 666 double vanity plate. We want everyone to, like, feel that from us.
I mostly got obsessed with the idea of, like, buying vanity plates for a Pontiac Grand Am. Because, mm-hmm. like, the one I had was a total mm-hmm. piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would you waste the time doing that? Because you're going to be spending more time repairing that anyway. Also, the devil obviously would not drive that car.
What would the devil drive?
Something that would actually get him to arrive at his destination, probably.
Like a Tesla?
No. I think he'd be more likely to drive, like, a big lifted truck that was shooting out, like, fire and brimstone. Yeah. And
black smoke.
Yeah. I think a Tesla, it would be like, well, this is friendly to the earth. And he'd be like, fuck that noise.
Oh, I just think he'd like a Tesla. Because they're like self-driving, basically, right?
Yeah.
I just think that the devil would be like, I've got shit to do, not drive a car. So I'm going to let it drive. Yeah, why would he
even have a car?
And then I'm going to like check my list
of
people.
Do his paperwork or whatever.
Yes. I'm envisioning him like Santa.
He's working on a laptop.
Yeah.
You think that the devil is like... I miss the old days when it wasn't all this technology and shit, when I just had to have, like, a demon follow me around with a scroll.
Oh, I was just thinking that he wouldn't like technology and social media because people are probably posting things all the time that he can, like, flag them for.
Mm. He's like, I've had to retrain an entire department to just, instead of, like, watching people through the window to, like... scour the internet uh-huh. for SpongeBob memes that are secretly like white power signals uh-huh. or whatever.
Oh, I don't even know. That like the game, isn't this the circle game? Yeah. But isn't that an offensive sign now too?
Somebody was saying that that was like some kind of a white power symbol.
Yeah, because somebody did it on TV, like a naval officer or somebody.
Well, I think it was a picture of a SWAT team and there were a couple people who did it.
Oh.
But then they were saying they were playing the circle game, which is what I was familiar with, which is you make the little circle. So it's like the OK symbol.
Yeah, the OK symbol.
And you kind of hold it like on your leg or something. And what you would do is I would trick you into looking at it. And if you look at it, then I get to punch you.
That's the reward?
No, it's a punishment.
But for you, the reward of getting me to look is punching.
That's the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If I can trick you into looking at the circle, then I get to punch you. It's kind of like the slugwug game.
Right.
Which we have a variation of that, except you would be like, okay, like maybe I'd be looking at my laptop and I'd be like, oh my God, come look at this. And then you come around the desk and I'm making the circle in front of my screen. And then I'm like, you dope.
I sometimes like pick my nails and like hold my fingers that way. And then I got real worried that people were thinking I was making an offensive gesture. No, there was like a work drama at a previous workplace. And like someone got called in to someone's office that was our boss. And then they were like, oh, so-and-so might want to talk to you about it, me. And I was like, did I make an offensive gesture? Like, I was obsessed with, yeah, I didn't. I wasn't in trouble. I know that's hard to believe.
No, yeah.
Yeah, that was fine.
No one caught all your gestures, huh? insane. I think that's probably one of those where I'm like, look, man, isn't there enough actual shit that's happening that we don't have to like do this, like look, do we have to be looking for other weird shit to happen? It's like, aren't the white power people like in a park with fucking tiki torches in the middle of the day? Is it super subtle or is it like pretty goddamn obvious what's going on?
Yeah, I guess I'm just like so worried I'm gonna commit a microaggression.
Well, yeah, I
probably have committed a
I'm
thousand.
Sure everyone did. I mean, isn't that a constant?
Yeah, I guess so. I just don't know. Like it.
What are you going to do?
Try hard not to.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know how you don't commit a microaggression, but
be woke as fuck.
Yeah. But even then, isn't being like all woke in my face a macroaggression? An aggression against someone who's not woke?
I don't know. Maybe if you like, does that not come matter? At me, bro, I'm woke. What are you? Then that's an aggression.
Yeah.
Like chest
pounding. Yeah. Like, what if you're shaming me for not being as woke as you? Isn't that like a microaggression?
I think that's just being a jerk. I don't know if there needs to be a social justice like term for it.
While we're on the topic, I had sort of a question for you / hypothetical.
We talked about this briefly and my brain hurt.
Okay. So I read a rumor on the internet that they are rebooting Facebook.
I'm already melting.
Off. I was going to say Facebook. And then I was like, they're rebooting Facebook. And then I'd be like, what? Face Off. And so a quick summary of Face Off for those who have not seen it. Yeah, never. Damn it.
I have never seen Face Off.
Poonmaster Flex has never flexed her way through Face Off. So I had to explain a little bit of it before it's like, so that you understand what the plot is.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, John Travolta is a good guy, FBI agent, who has been for years following this like super criminal guy, Nicolas Cage. He becomes very obsessed with capturing Nicolas Cage because Nicolas Cage shot his son.
What? Like a child?
This is the opening of the movie. Yeah. His kid is probably like 6-7 years old.
Why did he shoot him?
John Travolta takes his son on a merry-go-round. And they're on a merry-go-round. And Nicolas Cage knows that John Travolta's kind of been coming after him. So he decides to kill him. So Nicolas Cage is laying in the tall grass with a rifle. He smokes what might be meth or something like that. Takes a shot. The bullet passes through John Travolta, through his back, and exits the front and then kills his son. So John Travolta survives, but his kid dies.
Because like he literally would have been taking a bullet for his kid, but his kid would have still died.
Yes.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So he survives. So then he becomes very obsessed with capturing Nicolas Cage. So then they have this awesome action scene confrontation where Nicolas Cage gets blown into a wall by a jet engine and like is in a coma.
Nicolas Cage is in Con Air, right?
Yes.
This is different.
Yes. Okay. This is a completely different movie. Well,
yeah. I just didn't. Yeah. Got it.
They have a showdown at an airfield. Maybe this is where they got the idea for Con Air.
Okay.
I'll explain Con Air in a minute. Okay. Con Air also pretty great.
Okay.
Dave Chappelle gets killed hilariously in that movie. I think it's Dave Chappelle. I hope it's not another bald black man that I'm confusing for Dave Chappelle.
So,
but I'm like 99% sure that his name is 8-Ball and he's in it. Yeah, okay, he's definitely in it.
Okay, but back to Phase Off. So Nicolas Cage gets blown into a coma by a jet engine.
Well, he gets blown into a wall, which puts him in a coma. He's just like standing there and then he's in a coma. It like blew the soul out of him and he just fell. No, so he gets blown into a wall. He's in a coma. He's in the hospital. So Nicolas Cage's brother is also captured during this incident and taken to Super Magnet Prison, where all the prisoners wear magnetic boots that, when there's a riot, keep them stuck in place.
That's smart.
Yeah. It's insane. And it's so brief in the movie and so underused and insane.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to know more about this magnet prison.
The 90s were all about crazy prisons.
With like super high tech.
You had Cryo Prison and Demolition Man, which actually seemed like a pretty good idea. Because you're like, well, I guess if the prisoners are basically asleep, they don't even know they're in prison.
We don't have to feed them, right?
They don't have to do shit. They don't age.
Shouldn't you just wither away, though?
Well, I think the idea of being cryogenically frozen is that you are preserved.
Like how I can freeze raspberries?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, similar.
Okay. Can make a smoothie of cryogenically frozen people.
Oh, Soylent Demolition Man.
Oh, you.
So, okay, so Nicolas Cage, before he was comad, placed a bomb somewhere in L.A. before he was blown into a coma, placed a bomb somewhere in L.A., but they don't know where. And so someone comes to John Travolta and is like, we got to do this fucking crazy shit. And he's like, what is it? And they're like, we want to take Nicolas Cage's face off and put it
on you. He said it. You. He said the movie title.
Yeah, which I got this idea from Ken Jennings, Jeopardy champion, who said that when he and his family, when they go to the movies, if they say the name of the movie in the movie, they stand up and clap.
Yeah.
Which I was like, we need to do that from now on.
I think they do that on Family Guy.
Do they?
Yeah.
Now, see, we can't do it. You have to. It has to be a movie where the title is noticeable. Like, you couldn't go to a movie
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then they're like, it's Spider-Man.
But if they did, like, it's Spider-Man's Homecoming, then you could be like, yes.
Yeah.
Or if it's like Us, right? These Jordan Peele movies, Get Out. Okay. Get Out, you could, I guess, kind of do it. But I don't know. It's not quite the same.
Right. It'd have to be said in like a really dramatic.
You want it to be something like, and that was Mr. Holland's opus. And you're like, yeah. Or, I'm tired of this Demolition Man bullshit. And you're like, yes, they did it. You could have Total Recall. Welcome to Con Air. I don't know if that happens.
Okay. Watch it and see. Get back on track.
In The Rock, Sean Connery goes, not welcome to The Rock.
On track.
And you're like, fuck yeah. Because okay. They highlight it.
Yeah.
Right?
Now get back on track.
Okay. So John Travolta puts Nicolas Cage's, they laser his face off, put Nicolas Cage's face on his face. Then they make a bunch of explanations for, you know, they're like, also we gave him some liposuction and fixed
for
his hair.
He's like
and
a
like,
different size person.
Yeah. And we put and a little speaker skull. To modify his voice. And yeah. Which you're like, I mean, I don't think this is going to solve the problem of them being like different heights and builds, but sure. Whatever. So then he goes into the prison to talk to the brother.
John Travolta as Nicolas Cage goes into the prison.
Yes. And so to try and figure out where the bomb is. But during this time, Nicolas Cage awakens and figures out what happened because they took video of it for some reason. And then is like, all right, let's put John Travolta's face, which is floating in a cylinder of liquid.
I wondered.
and then put it on his face.
Gross. Did he look like the Red Skull?
Kind of. They only briefly show his face, and it's mostly in shadow. My guess is the effect looked really shitty. Mm-hmm. So they were just like, let's keep it. I think he's even, his face is warped because it's like the reflection in like a stainless steel object of some kind.
Yeah.
It's good though. It's pretty good.
For the time.
Yeah. So then he's wearing, basically it's a body swap.
Right.
It's like a body swap where it's not like a fortune cookie or they pee in the same fountain.
So then you have to remember that John Travolta actor is bad because he's acting as Nicolas Cage's character.
Yes. So the acting brief would be, I'm John Travolta in real life. I have to be John Travolta pretending to be Nicolas Cage in a John Travolta body. Right? And Nicolas Cage is doing the other. Uh-huh. So they're talking about rebooting this film, mm-hmm. which is insane because...
Are you pro or no?
I'm no, because here's the thing about reboots for me. If you're going to reboot some shit that didn't really work, mm-hmm. right? Like reboot something like Harry and the Hendersons, which you're like, I mean, it was like a 5. You know, nobody's like, my favorite movie is Harry and the Hendersons. Reboot, I don't know. Okay, instead of rebooting National Lampoon's Vacation,
no.
Reboot National Lampoon's European Vacation. Because that didn't, yeah, it was whatever. Don't reboot Christmas Vacation,
no.
Right? But it's, or like, don't reboot American Pie. Reboot, you know, American Pie Naked Mile that came out like 10 years later. Remake things that didn't work. That's my opinion.
But you feel like Face Off worked the first time, so like Face leave it Off alone.
Worked the first time. RoboCop worked the first time. Ghostbusters worked the mm-hmm. first time. Like all of these things that were like, these were fine, they did not necessitate a remake. They're remaking all of like John Carpenter's shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like you don't need to remake Halloween. No. That was fine. It is what
also,
it is.
Also, we could end the yeah. Halloweens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking at that because they're making another one based on, you know, like old Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
And then I saw the preview for the new Terminator, which I was like, yeah. And I was like, why is this grandma with a machine gun? Like, is this?
I can't believe you didn't recognize her.
She's old.
She is, but like, I don't know. And also, like, you know, it's her.
Well, here's the thing. I guess I'm alone in that I was not like clamoring to see. It's like, I want more Linda Hamilton, goddammit. Because, and it's not anything against Linda Hamilton. It's just like, she's like it's fucking 70 years old. And like, Arnold is also like 70 years old. Yeah. And I'm also kind of like, you know, might be time to sunset that.
That's how I feel about Stallone. Everyone's like, oh, it's Stallone. He's like big, tough guy. And I'm like, you're making me laugh at him now. Like if he's supposed to be some macho guy, like let me remember him as like Rambo and stuff.
Yeah. Well, see, I have mixed feelings about Stallone.
I know you do.
Because I feel like he leaned into being, sometimes he leans into the old and it works. Like yeah, Rocky Balboa like and then Creed.
Sure. I didn't see those. But if he can like be like, I was once this great yes. thing and like I right. can still like impart my great wisdom.
Right.
But if you're having him be like a badass, like kicking ass, I'm like, no.
Yeah. See, Expendables doesn't work as well.
Right.
Did you know, I just heard that so he was like 60 something years old making an Expendables movie and Steve Austin broke Stallone's neck like on accident. And he has like a plate in his neck and it's like fused and everything and it's
so
like
stop.
He's doing this. Well, he's making another Rambo, which
stop.
See, I'm totally gonna see that. Oh, here's the difference though. When they make Creed, for example, that's not a reboot. They're not like, let's right. just make a new Rocky movie where Rocky is a woman or some, you know, weird, or like where Rocky is this or whatever. It's like the continuation of that same story. It's a sequel more than it is a right, reboot, right? Yes. But then like, or like Rambo, he's old as shit, but they're like, well, okay, they're going to sort of deal with that. Like, that's part of the story, is that he's old as shit and like whatever. But when you just like remake stuff and then the effects are better, but that's it, that's pointless to me. And also, I just feel like Face Off came about in this era of 90s insane summer blockbuster action movies, that the type of movie they don't really make anymore, like it doesn't exist.
Were you the one that told me that Die Hard came out in like July?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because I did extensive research for a column.
Yes.
Yeah, it came out in July.
Yeah.
Well, that was the summer blockbuster was the thing.
Yes.
And now it's been supplanted by the superhero movie. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of movie that is now like the summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. But at one time, it was like crazy action movies. Face Off, The Rock, Con Air, Armageddon, all these kind of movies.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not like, what about Face Off remains untold? I think they told the story. It had a crazy magnet prison. It has two actors that you're like, them playing each other and whatever. It's like hilarious. Just the whole idea is hilarious. The sort of like timing of it was just right. It was made by John Woo. So like there's this scene where they're all wearing trench coats and there's doves flying around and shit. Like, it's amazing. So they're talking about rebooting it. And I guess some of the names thrown around, and this may have been not by the filmmakers, but just like fans who are like, here's who we should put in it, was Idris Elba and another guy. Which I think Idris Elba is like probably the go-to guy as far as when fans of movies are like, we're remaking X, who should we put in it?
Everyone wants him.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, because he's Idris Elba, and it's like, bam,
done. He can like play anything, I feel like.
I guess so.
I feel like he's very,
I like him.
Can transform.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I think like, what doesn't work about it for me is like, who do you cast as the other guy then?
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, like, you can't have Idris Elba in a movie where he's got like his nemesis, because who is like a reasonable nemesis for Idris Elba? This is why I think everyone was talking about him being James Bond and why that doesn't work. Because who would you be like, put Idris Elba in a room with person X and I feel like he's in trouble?
Oh.
Like, there's nobody.
I guess I'd want somebody who's, like, super genius. Because I feel like Idris Elba is intelligent. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you've got super mega genius.
Like Stephen Hawking. Like,
he's smart and he's, like, clearly very, like, strong and can handle himself. But if you had, like, mega. And that would be an interesting villain versus, like, just some hulking muscle man.
That's true. Okay.
Or lady. Ladies can be villains too.
Some huge ripped lady.
Yeah.
I think you're right. They should have like some guy who has no legs and is Stephen Hawking or something.
Hmm.
He's like, Mr. Bond.
There's some actor that I'm thinking of and I won't remember his name or where he's from, but I think he would be good. In my brain.
There's a man who exists.
There's a person in my brain who I have in my head.
Is it that frog face guy who was in the Jurassic World sequel?
I don't know, but he kind of looks frog faced.
Okay.
He's got a funny face.
Anyway, so then I got to thinking, because I was like, okay, you put Idris Elba in, and they had another name that they were talking about, and I was like, I Googled it because I was like, I wonder if this other guy is also black. Because can you do a face-off movie with a black guy and a white guy, or does that become blackface?
Well, okay. We were just briefly talking about this. I forgot, because like with John Travolta and Nicolas Cage, like they supposedly swapped faces, but like supposedly had the same bodies.
Yeah.
But you would literally have like a black face.
That's true.
To like your jaw, like neckline.
You would just have, you would look like Leatherface. You would just have like a
I firmly Idris Elba believe that blackface. Just face. A
white face, and then it's like sewn onto his entirely black head and body.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine like if they do that and they cast somebody of like who's not black, who's like Asian or Filipino or I don't know, any other races.
I'm just going to tell you right now, if that's what the preview was, and then it's like he comes, Idris Elba comes out and he's got Chris Pratt's face sewn onto his face, I would be like, I am seeing this fucking, I can't believe this is happening.
Well, so
this
can't be real. If that happened, like if they decided to make that casting call of like two different ethnicities and races, like they would have to make the story like, oh, we transferred like neck and face, and then everyone would have to have high collared shirts on, and then they'd have to like paint their hands and like arms different colors.
Okay, I'm going to say this. It's probably like, they're going to have to do one of two things, because it's 2019, and I think the old movie just glosses over kind of like they have different bodies, but you're like, eh, who knows? 2019, you'd have to do one of two things. A,
you'd have to like CGI it, and no one wants to watch a movie of just that.
Well, no, you just explain it away. Because no, you don't actually swap their bodies. Idris Elba is himself, but then he's the
brain
other person,
transfer.
But he's still the same. Exactly. That's option A.
That's
brain
the best
transfer,
option.
Right? Because that seems the most, and I'm like, eh, Get Out kind of paves the way for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you just have them do a full-on brain transfer because you're like, well, look, everyone's going to know your body is different.
Yeah.
B is Idris Elba is not necessarily obsessed with this criminal, but they find him and he has a very similar body to the criminal. So they're like, you know, you're so close, you're like the same height, about the same weight. And that's why he gets picked, not because he like knows him.
That's kind of what happened in Miss Congeniality.
Okay.
Because Sandra Bullock's character of all the ladies in the FBI, well,
is
number
the
one,
most like,
was, yeah, had like the most potential to be a beauty pageant queen.
Exactly. So it's not because she knows a lot about beauty pageants.
You're welcome for bringing that in.
Yeah, it was like,
I know you were like, how does this connect?
You know, we just had a role swap.
Did it.
Where I'm like explaining Face Off to you, but then you're like, that's like Miss Congeniality. And I'm like, gah.
But yes, agree. I think that's a possibility.
So you could do it that way too, where you kind of change the story and you say, it's not because he's obsessed and knows this guy perfectly. They were like, you know, the bigger hurdle is finding someone with the same body. We can teach him all the shit about this other guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can figure all that out. But I think you'd have to do one of those two things.
I think brain swap, because we're in 2019.
So if you do the brain swap, though, you can do a white guy and a black guy.
I think so.
But then is
that... You still have to be careful, because like if someone decides that they want to like be acting like another race, like...
I know. That seems like a minefield, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're an actor and they're like, so we're going to have... okay, you're... Who did I say? Chris Pratt.
Isn't that what happens in White Chicks?
Sort of.
Okay.
Two black guys dress in white face.
Right, but
as
they
white
pretend
chicks.
To be like,
yeah,
white Valley Girl chicks, right?
In college, I had to take this literary theory and criticism class. And so we had to apply a couple of the different theories to some pieces of media. So I was going to write an essay about White Chicks. Because something they were talking about was like really related to it. And then I watched White Chicks and I was just like, I thought the movie would be like offensive. It's really not. It's just boring.
Mm.
It's just dumb.
It's
no
good. I haven't seen it.
It may be, I'm guessing that in 2019, it would be more offensive in terms of their depiction of women than it is in terms of whiteface. But also, I don't know. I don't know if white face is offensive the way black face is, but...
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Probably not.
I think because of how it, like, dates back in history.
Yeah. I don't know that there's, like, a, quote, rich history of white face.
No.
So, that's probably not a big... But anyway, that's kind of how that movie worked. But it turned out that, like, them being in white face / being women had... almost nothing to do with anything in the plot. It was like, it just kind of, it was weird. I was watching it and I was like, this is both less offensive and far less interesting than I thought it was going to be.
So you didn't write the essay?
I had to write about something else. Because I was just like, there was no substance to it. I was like, oh, this is really horrible.
So you watched the movie and then got nothing out of it.
Yeah, and I think it was just like...
It's extra bad.
I believe Terry Crews is in the movie mm-hmm. as a guy who's like really into one of the white chicks, which you're just like... The other thing is in that movie, the makeup and stuff, like they look so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like they look really weird.
Yeah.
And so you're like supposed to believe that Terry Crews is like really, really into one of these quote unquote white chicks. And you're just like, I don't know, man, that seems kind of bizarre. I don't know if I was buying that less than anything else in the movie. And also it's like in the movie, they sort of pass as white chicks and you're like, no one gives them a second glance. Like, boy, this is a odd looking individual at the very least.
It's not polite to stare.
It's not, but it's also not polite to like cross dress and racially cross dress. If that's not your like chosen, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think they were FBI agents or something. That was the other thing. That's why they were dressed like that. There's some kind of
lots of this police. Movie sounds real stupid.
A lot of body swapping and cross-dressing in the name of the law.
Yeah, so I think that if they decided to do this with Face Off, like the person would need to portray Idris Elba and like vice versa as they are as an individual, not stereotypes of their associated race.
Now, do you think this is an opportunity in that, okay, they have Chris Pratt and Idris Elba?
I was thinking Chris Pratt. Why?
Because I said it like three times.
No, before.
I said it like three times on this show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not paying attention.
I can tell because you're like, why did I think Chris Pratt? I have said it like three times.
I don't believe you.
Okay. We can review the tape.
We can review the tape.
Fortunately, this is a recorded conversation.
So the argument that we're getting in,
yeah.
One person
everyone
is for
else
sure,
sitting
right?
at home is like, no, Peter's right.
Well, it okay. was in my brain.
So you've got these two. You could maybe Face Off becomes a vehicle for new social commentary.
Huh?
Because it's like all of a sudden Chris Pratt understands the struggle of being an intimidating looking black man.
What?
Because he has to walk in Idris Elba's body.
Oh, okay. Like Chris Pratt himself will not understand that.
No.
He can't actually walk.
Again, because okay. they're not actually going to swap brains.
But I was like, how smart do you think Chris Pratt is? How woke do you think he is?
He will finally... He'll probably say that on Instagram
like,
or something and then get in a lot of trouble.
These two will be so enlightened because they'll have been in this movie.
No, they're characters.
Oh, okay.
But see, the characters go through these experiences as the other race, which then
is
enlightens the
be
audience.
Like an afternoon special? Like, they're going to come together at the end and swap back? And Chris Pratt's going to be like, I didn't realize the challenges and struggles that you face being a black man and like a buff black man who like all the things, and then Idris Elba's like, I didn't understand what it was like for you, and then they hold hands and then the sun sets.
I think it would be funny if they did that, because it would be like, I didn't realize how easy it is to be one of the most beloved, most in shape, most handsome, respected black men in the world. And then he's like, I didn't realize how easy it was to be, you know, respected, also pretty in shape white guy who they just put in a bunch of movies. Like, if they were going to learn something about being another race, I don't know if those are great choices.
Yeah. They got a lot of positive things going for
them. Well, especially at this point in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when they're in high school, it would have been better. Because it would be like, Idris Elba's like, I didn't know what it was like to be a sort of chubby white guy who was getting by on personality and like whatever.
Good.
Yeah. Kind of a goofball.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Pratt is like, I didn't really know what it was like to be you and be taken seriously and whatever. I don't know. But this seems like a very different movie.
Mm.
This seems like a normal body swap, like a, you know, a Freaky Friday, but just racially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. It is a lot like Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
If they do the mind swap.
That makes it... I don't really want Face Off to end with like a new understanding of another person. I want Kumbaya a gunfight. Moment. Yeah. They need to be shooting at each other or punching. Like if
maybe he can get him to play the game and they punch him.
Play the game? Oh, the circle game? The
circle game. Bringing it funny. All back.
He's like punching him and then he's like, oh my God. And then he looks and he's making the circle and he's like, now I get to punch you.
Yeah.
He's like, you play that game too? We played that game where
and
I grew up.
And then they become friends.
No, see, this is... we can't have that. That's not Face Off. That's no movie I want
to
see.
Should you figure out who the directors and writers are for this and write them a letter ahead of time to, like, here's all the problems if you don't do this movie correctly.
Yeah. I just, you know, when I saw Idris Elba in there, I was just like... It never... occurred to me to think of a Face-Off movie cast with different race or gender, because you could do that too. You could have like
Lucy Liu.
Yeah, Idris Elba and Lucy Liu.
Yes.
What would happen?
I think she would be a good villain.
Yeah, I think so too. Would you cast her as hero who then is impersonating a villain, or villain who's impersonating a hero?
Oh, this is really hard.
See, this is what part of the magic of Face Off, because at the time it came out, John Travolta was never really like a villain.
So this
he was
is
like always a good guy.
Role.
And Nicolas Cage was taking, you know, weirder roles and stuff. So when they swapped, you were like, oh, shit. Like, John Travolta has to be a pretty good villain, and Nicolas Cage is a pretty good hero.
This is hard. I don't know. I'm thinking really hard about this. But I think that Lucy Liu and Idris Elba would be great.
Yeah. But then that causes so many problems.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Oh, and then she could go to like Orange is the New Black Lady Prison with magnets.
Mm-hmm.
This could work. Let's just bend all the rules.
Yeah.
Just say fuck it.
Yeah.
You could just say fuck it and not explain anything and just not worry about it.
Then it would be like a Neil Breen movie.
Well, no, a Neil Breen movie is simple, because if he does a Face-Off, he just plays both characters, and then there's no question about, like, what if it's a different race? Oh, do you think he would play a different race character?
Like, whatever sigh and then question comes after the sigh, yes. Yeah. Anything offensive and, like, out of touch, yes.
Yeah. I guess if I'm asking a question that basically the question is Neil Breen crazy enough to X? The answer is probably yes.
The answer is yes.
For all we know, he may have been in a movie intending to play a different race, and we didn't know. He did have... It was kind of interesting in... What's the one where everyone was crossing the border?
In the desert? That's the one I was thinking, too.
Yeah, Pass Through.
Okay.
In Pass Through, it seems... You have to make some interpretations about a Neil Breen movie, but it seems that what's happening is he's living in a van near the border of Mexico on this American side. And there are a few scenes that don't really come to anything that seem to be a bunch of people illegally crossing the border. And the group that is crossing the border is amazingly diverse.
Mm-hmm.
There's like an old white man who looks like your fucking neighbor in New Jersey or something. There's like black people, there's Latino people, there's one person who's supposed to be another person's aunt who they look to be about the same age and not of the same race, which I suppose is possible. But the question is Neil Breen woke? And he was just like, anyone can be an immigrant. It's not about what you look like. Or is it like, these are the people that he responded to a casting call in Reno for $25 a day to walk around in the desert for 20 minutes.
I think I did hear that the highest population of undocumented immigrants based on race and ethnicity is like Southeast Asian.
Interesting.
And everybody thinks
I'm sure there are Asian people too.
Mexican people.
Well, and that's a thing too, except this wasn't like an immigrant detention center or something.
Weren't
this
they
was
staying
we
at
were
like a house?
Watching them cross the border. Well, then they all got kidnapped by somebody.
But they were all and like put in shoved some in a kind bedroom. Of
like a garage or a, yeah, a bedroom. Which that I don't know what that was.
I don't know.
I don't know why that person. That's beside the point. The point is we see them all crossing together. So in as much as anything has any kind of logic in those movies, I have to assume they're all coming from the same place-ish to the same place-ish.
You're making a big jump there.
I know. And they're it makes the movie kind of confusing in another aspect, which is not necessary. Because it's like these movies are so confusing.
What? No.
Well, here's what's confusing and amazing about Neil Breen.
Because he's both at the same time, always. Yeah.
Well, and there's kind of like two layers of confusing. There's like, what is he doing that's just artsy and weird? And then what is he doing that he thinks is crystal clear?
Yes.
And to me, the viewer with a rational brain, I'm like, you gotta fucking tell me what the fuck is going on, because I have no idea what is happening.
Like whenever they're walking in that Avatar land in Twisted Pair.
When he is walking on and in front of a green screen and then
the purpley blue.
Yes. With his own twin.
Yeah.
And the characters, he's clearly walking in place and just getting larger and closer to the camera. But it's like a still image, basically, so you can't have him walking through the grass towards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is that? Why is that? That's like from his script, basically. What is this?
Yeah.
Why is this? Amazing filmmaker.
I wish I meet him.
I just like, I hope that he has enough money to just keep making movies forever because I don't really care what he does anymore. I'm just like,
I'll go see
just you. Keep making things because it's just such a, he seems so bizarre. And so like the most heartbreaking thing I could think of is to find out that he did this all cynically and like perfectly executed a viral marketing campaign and became like a cult filmmaker on purpose. But he was secretly like making tens of millions of dollars somehow. Like, he was basically doing Sharknado, but much better than that. That would be very disappointing to me. But I don't think that's happening.
No.
I'm almost positive. Well, and just, like, his crazy has an authenticity to it that I think is really hard to fake.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah. When I talked to him on the phone, very briefly. Well, I didn't talk to him.
He answered the phone and then hung up on us.
When I called him, he said, hello, 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 hello. Then he hung up.
Very quickly,
as he
too.
Should. Yeah. As he had every right to, because I fully did not expect that like his phone number from a bus ad from like 10 years ago would work.
It was on a billboard that we found on Google.
That's right. And I was like, well, what if I just call it? Mm-hmm. And I called it. Sure enough. Because he's a legitimate businessman, apparently.
I think we looked up that phone, and we can't find it anymore.
Well, I think we called it, because I still had the card, and it doesn't work anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, if we look on the internet, I don't think that billboard's up anymore.
No, I don't think so,
either.
He's
too famous.
Well, I mean, at this point,
he got wise and cleaned up his social media presence.
And unfortunately, he's probably famous in such a way and to such an audience that would harass him constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, idiots like us who would call.
This was like before he was real fame, though.
This was like just after we'd seen Fateful Findings.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the same night.
It might have been.
Because we got obsessed with who is this dude.
Yeah. Yeah, and started looking at, because the first one is the best. The first cut is the deepest.
Yeah.
But Fateful Findings, I think, is still his magnum opus. Because it was like, there's just enough going on that it stayed interesting.
Yeah.
And
trash
like
bag room.
Yeah, and all of his like weird psychoses were on full display. It's like women want him, men want to be him. He's gonna save everyone. He manifests.
The government is corrupt.
The government is horrible, and everyone's gonna like kill themselves. Yeah, insurance, banks, everything, anything government adjacent. Yeah, Lauverman. He is a novelist, super hacker, who also has magic powers that may or may not have come to him from a rock.
Mm-hmm.
He has a couple scenes where he spills a salad on the floor, and it's a salad that's just made out of spinach leaves.
Yep. On a
dry
plate.
On a plate, and he spills it on the floor, and him and his girlfriend have a little laugh like, oh, Neil, that's so you.
It's so weird.
And then, but probably the best scene, I think the biggest laugh when we saw this the first time, he's like, something happens, and he's like, it's like he's having a migraine or something, but that's not it. It's like a magic migraine. And he's like passing out at his desk, and then there's a cup of coffee off to the side. And so he starts like reaching for it, and like his lips are quivering. Like, if he can just get a drink of this coffee, everything will be fine. Which you're like, what? What? And it like gets close to his face, and then it just spills. And you're like, oh.
All over his laptop.
Over his lap. One of his many laptops. And yeah, the laptops, it's like he's click-clacking at one, then he turns 90 degrees, he's click-clacking at another, and it's like, you can just open another tab.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is not how laptops work. Even super hackers are not surrounded by laptops. That is not the way. Anyway, I love that he seems to be really interested in like technology and computer hacking and stuff as for his characters, but seems to have no concept of what that is in real life.
Right? Like, aren't actors into studying for roles?
Yes. I don't know.
So if you don't know how to do something, then an actor will study.
Here's a question I have for you. His latest movie, Twisted Pair, features many stock footage pieces that he's then put himself in.
Eagle.
They're him petting an eagle. Or the stump that the eagle is sitting on.
Also that like warehouse.
Yeah, with soldiers in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a...
The beach.
I don't even remember the beach.
With the twins on the beach and the dog.
Oh, yeah. He's not even in that. No. He's just like, this is me and my brother,
and those
Cade.
Two kids like feeding each other.
Yeah. Yeah, like there's
everyone
two babies.
Everyone should see this movie. Like, you have to, and then about, 45 minutes in, you'll be like, what am I watching?
Yes.
And then just relax.
Yep.
And let it happen to you, and don't ask questions, and just watch what's going on the screen.
This was his advice in the movie, and I realized she was 100% correct.
It's probably the wisest thing I've ever said.
Yeah. We were just,
also,
for some reason.
What time is it?
I don't know. Oh, shit.
57.
Cool.
We were just talking like right before the movie about like mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And for some reason I was like, so here's what I heard is you just have to sort of let it happen to you. Like if you try to control the experience, it doesn't turn out well. And then that was how you experienced Neil Breen.
It was.
You were just like, don't stop trying to make sense of it. Just let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, she's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to do.
Yep.
But okay, so he's in front of all these green screens. Well, okay, he filmed himself. Like, there's the best one, I think, where I think we figured it out was when he was getting on that airplane. And he, like, gets on this private airplane, and there's, like, a stewardess who comes up and is in the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were like,
that was weird.
I think this is stock footage. Like, why is he flying in a plane? Can't he, like, teleport and shit or something?
Also, that, like, they never went anywhere, and nothing ever came of it.
It never took... Well, it was him flying back to his headquarters at the community college. So, to talk to his boss at, like, whatever organization, who was also like, do your people take vacations? You should try it or something. And you're like, is he a robot? Is he an alien? Is he a human alien? What is he?
All.
He's everything. Here's my question. Did Neil Breen film himself in front of a green screen, and does he have the ability to then put himself in using like Adobe Premiere?
Do you think that he uses Adobe Premiere?
Yes.
Really?
Well, what else would he use?
Camtasia.
No. No, I mean.
But yeah, I think he doesn't use like real film editing.
Well, for all his like Well, I saw like a bunch of when we were watching Mindhunter, that was edited using Adobe Premiere. And so I was like, okay. And like Neil Breen's movies don't look terrible. They don't look like
cheaply filmed movies or anything.
Like he obviously has a decent camera.
Do you think he has a friend who films stuff?
I have no idea.
Because he's on the screen so much.
Yeah. He must have somebody else who at least holds the camera sometimes.
I want to know who Neil Breen's friend is.
But he's got like decent, the filming is decent. The sound is not bad either. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like other shitty
except
movies.
Except whenever he wants to make explosion sounds happen like 15 times in a row.
Sure, and he just uses the same stock sound.
Oh yeah, because he used that stock footage of him like in that boiler room.
Yep.
Yeah, he used a lot of stock footage.
There was a ton. That movie was like 50% stock footage. But like, there's only two possibilities here, which is he knows what he wants to do and he instructs someone else to do it, or he does it. But I mean, I think he does most of the editing, or he credits himself with it. There's always like one other guy who is involved.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, I don't know.
I wonder if his IMDb page would say who his film
maybe
production person is.
Yeah. And like, what is that guy thinking?
Where did they meet?
I don't know.
In the desert.
Probably Craigslist. He probably just hired him on Craigslist and was like, film this. And the guy's probably thinking like, hey man, his money spends, this will never see the light of day, but whatever.
Do you think it's like the Room situation?
Yes.
Where he's Tommy Wiseau?
No, I doubt that he's like actually looking for friends.
No, but I mean like where they all kind of laugh. But so whoever Mark is like, because you know how he thought Tommy was crazy.
Yeah.
So I feel like Neil's film person is like Mark and is like, this guy's nuts, but I'll just go along with it.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, because what do you do when you show up? Okay, I'm thinking about it like this. I'm a professional videographer. I show up with my, you know, and he's like, I have all the equipment you need. I have catering. I have all this. And I'm like, okay. And I show up and that all turns out to be true. But then he's like, okay, I'm going to have you film me sitting on this rock. I'll do the voiceover later talking about how I'm a space alien. And I want you to film me on this rock, and then we're going to splice in a tiger sitting next to me. And I'm just like, okay.
You know how to use Premiere now.
Yeah.
You should send him your resume. And some of the videos and things you've made.
Be like, Neil, do you want to do...
Neil, buddy, baby, let's collab on your next big thing.
Well, I remember after we left Twisted Pair, I was like, because I was trying to put it together, and that's when you were kind of like, don't bother. But I did wonder, I was like, I wonder if one could take Twisted Pair and cut it into a movie that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that.
So I was like, I wonder if the footage is there to like...
Just got all jumbled.
Yeah, if I could pick like one storyline or something, like the girlfriend story or something like that, and then just be like, that's the story, that's it. Could that be a reasonable 45-minute movie?
Who knows?
Nobody knows. And there's just some things you can't cut out.
Yeah, like the rat hobo man.
With his rubber rats. Yes. See, I would have to crop that so you couldn't see the rubber rats.
No.
But isn't that... See, and that's like the magic of Neil Breen. Because you're like, does he know that that's shitty? Does he think it's funny? Does he
no,
like...
No, I think he thinks that he was filming from such a distance. There's no way
he wouldn't tell. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't you notice they're not moving?
I've never seen a rat in real life. We're about to.
Really sit there very often.
Right, we're about to.
Yeah, in New York.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you look in the subway, I remember I was riding a subway at night last time I was there, and I had quite a long wait, and there were just like a billion rats down on the tracks.
I might scream.
Well, you're going to just be screaming nonstop.
Probably the first time I'll scream.
Also, okay, New York is fun. Lots of good qualities. a bad quality of New York.
Trash.
Yeah. They just put the fucking garbage like on the sidewalk in front of the building.
Smelly?
Yes. And like every, you know, since every place has different trash pickup, so like if you're walking around and stuff, inevitably you're walking through a part of town where the trash is out. And there's like rats and stuff because the trash is just sitting on the fucking sidewalk all day. Just bags of garbage.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
New York is a smorgasbord. You remember that guy?
Nope.
Oh. Was that Charlotte's Web with the rat? A fair is a smorgasbord.
That word is from Luxembourg.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we did it.
Woo!
Can we live without a summary of Con Air?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can just summarize that for me later.
Save it for next time.
Ooh, yeah, next time.
Okay. Well, there you go. Oh, God. So loud. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Poon Master Flex.
Whoa, you got it right.
I know, at the end. I only have 3 corrections to make.
Just in time.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see you again.
Yeah.
Okay. See you next time, everybody. Do, do.